Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Hope you're doing great today. The final hour of the broadcast week here at the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Grace Baker's already, she's already ready to get out of here, getting ready for Valentine's Day coming up. Now, Grace Baker, we're turned Grace's mic on. So this is your first Valentine's Day as a newlywed.
This is true.
All right. So does Mr. Grace, do you know what he's going to do?
I know that, okay, so he already surprised me with flowers and a stuffed dog on Wednesday because he said he wanted to get the flowers early before all the good ones were gone.
I see. Oh, that's nice.
And then tonight we're going to get takeout from a nice steakhouse and eat it at home. And then we're going out somewhere for like dessert.
So this is a multi-day celebration here.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
I'm impressed. You know, the problem is, though, for Mr. He's going to have to keep upping his game every year.
I know. If he sets the bar too high at the beginning, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I would have gone with like some of those, you know, the little candies that have like words like be mine. Yeah, you know, I would have gone with that.
Those are nasty. Who eats those besides at Valentine's Day?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because, yeah, they are nasty, but the next year, anything he gets has to be better than that.
That's true.
So he's like, but now, I mean, you've got steak and flowers and a stuffed dog.
We've been dating, though, for 4 years before that. So he's had to kind of, up his game then, too.
I want to bring Sarah Carter into this conversation. SarahAcarter.com is her website. Now, Sarah, we've been working with Grace. You know, she started here as a single woman, got herself engaged, then married. And now we're just enjoying all of these first as a newlywed couple here.
Oh, that's so great. I was listening. I'm so excited for you. I like this multi-day, super Valentine's Day, event happening because my husband always surprises me. Believe it or not, Todd, he is amazing at it. Like, he just puts other guys to shame. So I'm always happy when I hear other wives talk about how great their husbands are. My husband will usually surprise me with, like, something I won't even expect, like, 1 year he had made all the kids, keep the secret. And he actually took me to Bermuda.
And wow.
That was like so crazy. That was so crazy.
Bermuda? That's a pretty high bar.
Well, because we live on the East Coast and he had been planning it for some time. I guess he had planned it one time. He actually took me to New York to see a show. He took me to see Hamilton. And
whoa.
So he always does. Yeah, and he hates plays. So you really got a guy that loves you when they do not like going to the theater and they get you a theater ticket just because you like it.
That's fantastic.
Oh, too bad.
Grace, tell Sarah what your husband did this morning, though, which was very nice, I thought.
Oh, yes. So, I was on my way to the station 5 a.m. in the morning and I go out to my car and the day before he had already scraped my windshield to help get it going, because we had an ice storm here in Memphis. So I tried to open my car door this morning. It was frozen shut. I used my whole body weight. I poured water on it. I did everything. And I went up there and I had to wake him up. I felt so bad. And he was so nice. I would have been kind of mad. He was just like, "You're fine, dear." And he just puts on his jacket and stuff and he goes outside. And then 5 seconds later, he comes back in and he goes, "I got it." And I'm like, "Seriously?" And he just goes back to bed.
That's
amazing.
It was very, very nice. I just felt bad. I was like, wow, I just woke him up and it took him 5 seconds. That stupid man strength.
That is. Well, that's the difference, right?
Yeah, I just cannot compete with that.
I'm like, wait a minute. And I just have to throw it out there. Chest feeding, I do not agree with it. There is no such thing as man strength. I'm all about.
Gosh, don't even get me started.
Thank you very much, Sarah Carter, for that has been a topic of discussion on the show this week, actually.
It's so crazy. Valentine's is awesome. That is, you have a wonderful husband, Grace. That's awesome. That's so great. Wake him up every morning.
He's a good fellow, and they're a great couple. And we're just excited to have Grace as a part of our team. Sarah, a lot going on today. And, of course, we've been watching bits and pieces of the impeachment trial. And also this crazy story coming out about Nikki Haley. You know, it's interesting how many Republicans are throwing the former president under the bus here.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's like you really know. I remember, you know, and I'm going to go back to 2016. But I remember Donald Trump Jr. saying once in an interview that I did with him, he said, "We really found out who our friends were, you know, after everything came to fruition, because they have obviously been under this kind of duress for the last 4 years. This is nothing new. I mean, this is unfortunate because it's dragging the American public once again. Instead of focusing on issues that matter, they are trying to impeach the American public more than they are President Trump. They just want to ensure that the public never make a decision. But when you see what happened with Nikki Haley, when you see how others have reacted to President Trump publicly, it's like, you know, they used him when they could, and then they turn on him as soon as they feel like there's just no defending. And that's the problem with the Republican Party in general and with the GOP. You would rarely ever see this happening with Democrats or leftists. They, you know, even if they eat their own, like I think they're doing with Governor Cuomo, they're pretty much all on the same page all the time. And so this is, it's very disappointing.
You know, you mentioned Cuomo. I mean, this is not just a scandal. This could be criminal behavior that the governor engaged in, covering up the death count in the nursing homes. Janice Dean over at Fox News Channel, God bless her.
Amazing.
She's just done a terrific job, you know, exposing all of this.
Well, Janice Dean is a remarkable, remarkable woman. And I have been retweeting her ever since she started exposing what happened, you know, with her in-laws and their death, and exposing and being an advocate for people in nursing homes and in New York, and really holding Governor Cuomo accountable. I mean, she was targeted over and over again by Cuomo and by, you know, his cronies. And now the truth is finally coming out. And if it wasn't for truth tellers like Janice Dean and others, we wouldn't have known this. And now the attorney general, who's a Democrat, basically, you know, with the report, showed what and how atrociously Andrew Cuomo purposefully managed this situation and hid the information of 50%, by the way, less reports of the deaths that were in New York, and exposed what Governor Cuomo did. And now his Melissa DeRosa, who is one of his top aides, I mean, she just came out and apologized to Democratic lawmakers. But this is the thing for what happened. But this is where I have a problem. A big problem. It's beyond just hiding numbers, right? Which was exposed, you know, through the report, now through the New York Post. This is about the death of so many people because of this atrocious behavior. And I really believe a lot of it was due to the fact that he had the Javits Center, he had the USS Comfort that President Trump sent there, but the Democrats didn't want Trump to, to publicly show what he could do, that he was doing his job, that he was actually providing what they needed on the federal level to the best he could to the state. And, you know, Governor Cuomo and other Democrats would rather put people that are recovering from COVID into nursing homes with the most vulnerable than do the right thing and put people in the Javits Center or in the USS Comfort. Why weren't they ever utilized? That's the question that we need to ask. Why were they remaining empty? Why didn't they use them for the purposes that they were supposed to be used for? You know, there's no excuse for what happened here because the resources were there. And remember early on, Todd, you know, Governor Cuomo was lauding President Trump, saying, "Oh, we got all our PPE equipment. We got the ventilators we need. Thanks to the Trump administration. Thanks to the Trump administration." And it looks like he got a call from Nancy Pelosi after that and a bunch of Democrats saying, "You better stop lauding President Donald Trump. You better stop saying that he did a great job." And it looks like what the Democrats did was like just say, "Okay, we're just going to move everybody into these nursing homes." There needs to be a complete investigation instead of wasting time, America's time, with this sham of an impeachment, because it is a sham.
No doubt about that, Sarah. By the way,
we should be investigating this.
This just coming in, Lee Zeldin, Congressman Lee Zeldin, says that the Republican congressional delegation from New York is now calling for the Justice Department to open an obstruction of justice investigation into Cuomo. So let's see what happens there. Sarah, real quick before we let you go, you've also been very vocal on the cancel culture movement, and of course, some great news with Ben Shapiro stepping in and announcing a partnership with the co-star of Mandalorian. This is only going to get worse, and I'm glad to see that conservatives are now starting to fight back a little bit.
Oh, absolutely, because this wasn't about anti-Semitic behavior. You can look at her entire quote. I'm a big advocate against anti-Semitism. My foundation, the Dark Wire and Investigation Foundation, has a report against hate. It's on our website. We focus on anti-Semitism and the rise of that in our country. People like Ilhan Omar, right? A Democrat, a congressional member, has put out anti-Semitic statements and is still being supported by the left. But we have a cancel culture that's going after everybody who's conservative, anybody who says anything that they think they can twist and turn and change the narrative. They try to cancel out, they completely remove. We know Disney's had other people with far worse issues that are still employed by Disney. So I'm really grateful for Ben Shapiro. I'm grateful for others. I spoke to a lot of my Jewish friends. They did not find any offense whatsoever in what she said. So I'm really grateful for that. But look, we're in a time in American history, I don't think we've ever seen this before, where people are being canceled left and right. And it's up to us, people with common sense, to speak up and speak out and not be afraid. We can't be afraid of the left. We have to be able to say our piece and not be afraid that we will in turn be canceled, because you will be canceled if you don't speak out.
Well said.
You will be canceled, right, if you speak out and you stand your ground.
All right, Sarah, real quick, what's on the podcast this week?
Oh my gosh, this is so great. You guys have to listen to the Sarah Carter Show. I'm telling you, Todd, if you haven't heard it, you have to hear it, because I have Luis Elizondo on. He was head of the Pentagon program on unidentified aerial phenomenon, on vehicle, you know, what I guess in layman's terms, UFOs. But the Pentagon has been very adamant and working and trying to figure out what is happening in our skies. We don't understand. This is a very serious subject, one that not only the Pentagon, but governments across the globe, both their intelligence agencies and their military, are studying. We're seeing a lot of this phenomenon in the air. And Luis Elizondo opens up on some of the most classified parts of this that he can walk to the edge of. He can't reveal everything, but he walks to the edge and he takes you into an area that most people would have thought was science fiction. And now it's very, very real and something that we're looking at. So you've got to listen to the Sarah Carter Show, Luis Elizondo. We go do a deep dive into whether or not these UFOs, these unidentified flying objects, are a threat or are they friendly? And why are they so interested in our nuclear facilities?
Love it. All right. Sarah Carter, SarahAcarter.com is the website. Got to leave it there. Sarah, happy Valentine's Day to you.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. Happy Valentine's Day, Grace. I hope everyone out there has a great Valentine's Day this weekend. We all deserve to have a little bit of love and fun.
And lots of chocolate.
Sarah.
Lots of chocolate.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Thanks. All right. Sarah Carter, everybody. SarahAcarter.com. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Salute. So you got Joe Biden and the wife. They're out there on the front lawn of the White House, and they're putting these giant Valentines. They sort of look like the conversation hearts that have messages like healing, unity. Ugh. So anyway, they're kind of like walking around, and of course, the White House press corps is literally drooling. I saw what I believe to be was saliva coming from like the corner of one of the reporters' mouths. and they're just gushing and fawning over the president and the first lady. So Biden goes over and is talking to the press corps, and he hands his cup of coffee over to one of the reporters. Now, I just want to ask about this. Is that sanitary? Is that allowed? I mean, you don't know what Biden, apparently, even though he's had the vaccine, is getting tested every other week for the China virus.
And isn't that breaking social distancing rules? Because you have to get close enough to hand the coffee over.
Big time. They were within just a matter of feet from each other.
Ooh.
By the way, Biden says now we're going to have to wear the face burkas until maybe next year. At least until next year. So remember what Biden said, Grace. He said, 100 days, wear the mask, 100 days, poof, it's gone.
Democrats count time like dogs do, dog years.
Yes, they do.
Jeez.
They do. By the way, Sarah Carter said some very nice things about Mr. Grace.
She's so sweet. I love Sarah.
Very nice lady. So Avery is on, you know, they've had snow at Liberty University, so they had to shut down the campus today. So Avery, who was normally with us in our Liberty studio, could not make it to the studio.
I wish we had snow here in Memphis instead of ice.
Yes, but we would still pick you up and you would be here.
Oh, yes, this is true.
So Avery wanted to weigh in. Here is the email he sent us. The subject line, My Valentine's Day.
Ooh.
I know. This is very interesting.
I'm excited.
Todd, my Valentine's Day dinner is going to consist of a bag of Doritos and a Chick-fil-A, and I'll be alone.
Will he be watching a show?
This is terrible.
Oh, that
this is
so
horrible.
Sad.
This is a horrible.
Do we need to go get him?
We need to. Oh, he says, LOL, just kidding.
I don't know if he's kidding.
Some of the guys in the dorm might be doing something. I'm like.
So instead of a Galentine's, is it a.
It's a Guyentine?
That doesn't have the same ring to it.
No, it doesn't have
Palentine's?
I don't know. So basically, it's a guy's night out.
All righty.
Well,
but they can't go out anywhere because of the snow.
Well, that's true. But, you know, there's a lot to do on the Liberty University's campus. You know, they've got some great dining. They have their own Chick-fil-A.
Ooh.
And a Subway shop. So that's good.
There you go. They've got some good dinner options.
Yeah, they got some good dinner. And you never know. I mean, there are a lot of good. I'm not sure what the ratio is, but I'm sure that there are probably some single Baptist girls on the campus.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
So who knows? You never know what's going to happen at Liberty University.
If one of the girls wants Avery's number, just give us a call and I'll give it to
her. What are we like? Are we matchmaker?
Yeah. Hey, it's about to be Valentine's Day.
All right. There you have it. Ladies, moms and dads, if you've got a daughter.
Oh, yeah. If you want to set them up, let's do it.
Oh, my word.
It'll be like The Bachelor, but Baptist version.
The Bachelor. Oh,
the
wow.
The Baptist Bachelor.
Well, he's a musician, so that's good, and he's a filmmaker.
That's a great girl's like an artsy guy.
He's part of one of the most popular talk radio programs in all of America.
I know. And he has a podcast.
And he's got a podcast. Going. And he's not just any sort of nerd burrito. He is an informed nerd burrito.
And Avery just emailed me, and he said, of course I will be watching a show, but I need to know what show.
Is it The Bachelor? The Bachelorette?
Yeah, maybe it's The Bachelor.
I don't know.
Maybe WandaVision.
WandaVision.
That show comes out.
That
today.
Show confuses me.
Well, you haven't seen the other Marvel movies.
I know. I'm just out of the loop. All right, folks. Hey, give us a call. What are you doing for Valentine's Day? 844-747-8868. If you've got a possible match for Avery, give us a call as well. Talk to Grace. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Honored to have you with us today on this Friday edition of the program. Let's go right now to the Liberty University newsmaker line. Honored to have with us an actual history of, a professor of history, a professor. Grace, it's Friday. Have we noted that?
I know, Todd, it's okay.
I know. I need a nap.
Well, it is a gloomy day outside.
It is. It's the weather. I'm not used to the ice in the deep south. It's just not right.
Better get used to it, Todd. It's going to come once every 2 years.
All right. Well, anyway, so Sam Smith is a history professor at Liberty University, and he joins us today. What an honor to have you with us today, Professor.
Thanks for having me.
So we've been following the developments on Capitol Hill, the impeachment of former President Trump underway. A lot of people talking about the constitutionality of it. I'm curious how you guys are addressing this, or is this a part of something you guys are talking about in the classroom at Liberty?
Well, we do teach on the Constitution and try to approach the Constitution from an originalist perspective. That is, the words of the Constitution matter. And one of the things that you may have noticed as the House managers, the way they presented their case, the words of the Constitution really did not matter to them. And, for example, the House manager case was, well, if we don't do this, if we don't impeach this president, then presidents from now on can do whatever they want to do. Well, of course, that's a red herring, a false analogy. It has absolutely nothing to do with the words of the Constitution in Article 1, Section 3, and Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution. Very clear on who are the subjects of impeachment and who must preside in an impeachment. And none of those points are being met in this case.
And, Professor, I mean, this was a big argument, and, you know, it had to go before a Senate vote whether or not it was actually constitutional to impeach a non-sitting president of the United States, a former president.
Very clear. The Constitution, Article 2, Section 3, says that the president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment. In other words, it outlines the subject for someone to be impeached. You must be a civil officer to be impeached. And so that's a point that they are ignoring. And Article 1, Section 3 of the Constitution says the Chief Justice shall preside over an impeachment proceeding. So the Chief Justice knew that this was unconstitutional, and that's why he didn't come to the Capitol to preside over this hearing. It is a charade.
It's just really stunning. And for me, Professor, the red flags went up when I saw this elaborate video production that the Democrats put together, selectively edited. They removed a lot of remarks that, you know, certainly would have gone against their narrative. And a lot of the evidence they seemed to compile came from, news reports that at best could be considered suspect.
Yes, I like what Jonathan Turley, a constitutional lawyer, said yesterday. He said that this is trial by innuendo and implication through media reports. They constantly said things like it is reported in the media that, and so forth. The trial itself is unconstitutional. And they're not meeting any of the basic legal requirements in this case. It is really stunning to see this happening in our country.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line is Sam Smith. He is a history professor at Liberty. Professor, I'm curious about the students when they come and they take your class, about their knowledge of American history. Are you finding that students are well-versed on history and government and civics when they get to college?
It varies. There are some students that come to us that have a strong basis in government, civics, and studying the Constitution. And then there are others who, you know, have weaknesses in that area. But we really try to address those issues and seek to, you know, teach them what the Constitution says, what it's about. We really want our students to understand the founders' intent, what they were intending when they produced the Constitution, and so forth. One thing, for example, Todd, that I would mention that I think is very important: the Constitution clearly says that it's treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanor. an early draft of the Constitution, when they were drafting the Constitution, that early draft used the word maladministration as a criteria. But James Madison argued in the Constitutional Convention that this would allow Congress to control the presidency. So they struck it out. It was taken out and replaced by high crimes and misdemeanors. But what we're seeing today is that the Democrats are really, when you really look at it, they are trying this president because they don't like the way he administers. They don't like him. They don't like his administration. And so they're actually doing what James Madison and the founders argued must not be done. You cannot use impeachment to try someone for what you think is maladministration, which is what they're doing.
All right. Well, Professor, we're going to leave it there. Great insight, as always, and we appreciate the great work you your fellow faculty members are doing at Liberty University.
Thank you very much, and it was a pleasure to be with you.
All right. Sam Smith, he is a history professor at Liberty University. And I'm always, you know, every time we have a history professor on the show, I always like to, you know, I'm kind of curious, you know, what condition are the kids in when they arrive on campus? And that's good news from what the professor said. All right, I want to go to the phone. This may be a first here. Avery's got some hate mail coming in. Let's go to North Carolina. Ron, listening to us on the talk station. Ron, what's your beef with Avery?
I say he's a wuss. If he's living in dorm on campus and he can't walk over to the studio, what's wrong with him? In 1973, I was a student at Appalachian State University. In November, we had an early snow. Got up, 8 o'clock class. I walked to class. We had 0 degree temperature. We had about 12 inches of snow on the ground. Wind chill factor was 30 below zero. I walked to class and found out that school was canceled. I understand. People with vehicles can't drive on snow. And there's another statement I want to ask. What can drive on ice?
What can?
In the cold weather training I had in Germany in 2004, this is what they told us. They said nothing. And then they show a video of a M1 tank sliding down a mountain or a hill sideways and destroying a truck below. Basically, what they were saying is, you get on ice, you be very, very, very careful.
Ron,
that's what they taught.
Ron, I think we're going to have to come to Avery's defense here, because when they shut down the university, unless we get Avery to break into the studio, I guess we could do that, but I don't want him to get criminal charges, but... We'd have to bail him out.
I understand that.
All right. Ron, you're a good man, and we're glad you made it to campus back in 73. 0 degrees. That's cold. My goodness. All right. So there you go. Avery, we came to your defense, and we're too cheap to bail you out, so you did the right thing today. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. What are you doing for Valentine's Day? Michelle from Ohio is going to tell us after the break.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Well, you know what you could do for Valentine's Day? You could order your Valentine a copy of my brand new book coming out, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. Nothing says romance like a hot buttermilk biscuit. You can do that, by the way, at toddstearns.com. Wherever you buy your books. The new book is going to be in bookstores later this spring. We're doing pre-orders now, and we're encouraging folks, go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books, and get yourself a pre-order copy a lot of folks wondering, Todd, are you going to be doing another book tour? And the answer is absolutely yes. So all of you folks that listen to this program, here's how we do our book signings. We typically go to the towns where we have this radio show broadcast, and we partner with our local radio stations, and that's how we do our book signings. So I'm fairly certain that we're going to be all over the country later this summer, and of course we'll also be in places like Little Rock and Morehead City, North Carolina, Atlanta, Gainesville, Georgia. So we're really looking forward to getting out and visiting so many of our great listeners across the country. Might even have to take a road trip up to Portland, Maine to hang out with all you good people at WLOB. All right, let's get to the phones, 844-747-8868. Michelle in Ohio. Hi, Michelle. What's going on?
Hi, I wanted to thank you for reminding me about Valentine's Day because I forgot.
You forgot about Valentine's Day?
I forgot. Well, we're going to be going on 10 years of being married, and we don't like the commercialism of it. So usually my husband makes Never Be Lonely Again pasta by Rachel Ray for me every year. And I forgot to put it on the menu this year because I usually make the menu a week in advance so I can just run to the grocery store once a week. So I guess I'm going to have to ask him if he can go ahead and make that for me on Sunday.
Now, what makes this pasta different than, say, like, you know, Chef Boyardee?
It's the vodka. It's the vodka cream sauce, and you use the real vodka.
Oh, is that right? Hmm.
It's delicious. And he made it for me when we were dating, and we're married now. So thank you, Rachel Ray.
Well, there you go. How about that? That sounds like a lovely night and a delicious dinner you have planned there, Michelle. Well, thank you for calling in, and I hope you and your husband have another very happy 10 more years, and then another 10, and another 10. All right, good for you. So you put the vodka in the sauce? Is that how it goes, Grace? You don't drink the vodka. It's the
No, I think that you put it in the sauce, and it cooks the alcohol out. It just leaves the flavor.
Oh, I see. Well, that makes sense.
Yes.
Well, either way,
you don't drink it while you're cooking either.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that would be.
No, that'd be bad.
No, that would not be good. From San Francisco, Breitbart. This is an unbelievable story. So you got to follow this one, folks. It requires just a smidge of attention. A gay white dad of a mixed race child has been denied a spot on the San Francisco Board of Education's parent committee because he would hurt the diversity of the all-female group. The guy's name is Seth Brinzel, and he is very active in the school. He's a music teacher. And he wanted to be a volunteer member of the committee. The Parent Advisory Council unanimously supported Mr. Brinzel, and they submitted his name to the school board for approval. The Daily Mail detailed the ensuing battle. His candidacy faced opposition from some board members and members of the public who argued there was not enough diversity on the council. So here's the breakdown of the council. They're on the council, 10 members, two blacks, two black mothers, one Asian American, three Latinx. What is Latinx? Is that like, it sounds like a tissue, but it's, why wouldn't you say Hispanics?
Well, see, instead of saying masculine or feminine, you're saying Latinx.
Geez.
So there's no gender.
For crying out loud.
Because, you know, Latina, Latino.
Tomato, tomato. So they got three Hispanics, one Pacific Islander, and three white folks. Brinzel, who is the executive director of a music program for children, is openly gay, lives in San Francisco with his husband and their young daughter. After the lengthy debate, the school board eventually decided against voting on his appointment at all and asked the council to find alternate candidates for them to consider. I've got to read this quote to you. A member of the board, only identified as Tara, said the committee was not a diverse group of people as far as I have seen. Others opposed his appointment because, quote, other voices need to be heard first before white queer voices. So it's not good enough that this guy is gay. It's not good enough that this guy is married to another dude. It's not good enough that the two gay guys adopted a multiracial child. No, that's not good enough. And you know why? Because they're Caucasian. They're honkies. They're crackers. And not even a saltine cracker. Sounds like they're Ritz crackers. You can't make this stuff up, folks. But do you understand what we're dealing with here? What was that student group? Young America's Foundation. And Lord love them. They don't like to dive into the actual big, significant issue. Nobody wants to touch this. And we brought this up. We raised this question. You know, they get all bent out of shape because you got all the poor white kids, white conservative kids are getting attacked on their campuses. But nobody wants to talk about the reason why. And it's not so much that they're conservative. It's because of their skin color. And nobody wants to talk about that. They really don't. It terrifies conservatives. It really does. But you better wake up, folks, because we're going to have this conversation one way or the other. And as we learned here from the Daily Mail over in San Francisco, you know, this guy was checking off the identity politics boxes one by one. I mean, he had them all checked off except for one. And what was that one box that was not checked off? It's because the guy's white. And they have they've got no qualms about saying that in San Francisco. So anyway, I hate it for the guy. I'm just telling you right away, you know what I would have done? I would have said, who are you to call me a white person? I identify as Latinx. I'm Latinx, thank you. How dare you say otherwise? As a matter of fact, I'm not even a man, I'm a woman. That's right, I'm gender fluid. And right now it's 1:57 Central Time, and I'm back to being a man. But in a few minutes, I'll be a woman again. That's what I would have done. Have some fun with it, at least. You got to go down fighting with these people. Jeez-a-loo. Well, there you go. Diversity does not mean white. Just want to throw that out there. All right, folks, been a great week around here. We're going to do this all over again on Monday. I believe Washington's birthday. We'll talk about that as well. I want to thank our great team here, Grace and Avery, Claire and Kyle and JP. Great show. Get out there. Have a great Friday. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.